Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin and, or Kevin Ross Emery and Ashley Olstein show. So I'm not sure. First of all, let's start off that this is the first week of the month. And for those of you who have been around in the Dr. Kevin, Kevin Ross Emery universe for a long time, you know that the first Thursday of the month has always traditionally been Matt Connerton and myself. Matt comes in a couple of minutes late because he finishes his show from 4 to 6. That's going to continue. And as we continue to bring Matt in for the first Thursday of the month, those sometimes Ashley is going to make those shows and sometimes she's not. But so it is, when he gets here, we'll be talking about that. But I want to remind people that, you know, even the new iteration of this has that it is both a...
That's great.
Matt.
Hey.
There we go. Yeah, I'm going to bring you right in. Welcome to the new format, available here and then later on IPM Nation. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. That's a little like...
Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar, right?
Yeah, yeah.
IPM Nation sounds familiar to you?
It does.
So, Matt, one of the things... So I just was reminding people that, you know, our new tagline is practical spiritual advice. And I tend to bring you in for some practical, insightful, oftentimes political advice. But guess what? Spiritual people vote. Or if they don't, they should.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be aware of what's going on in the world. I invite Matt in for those of you who may be joining us for the first time, as we're now on YouTube Live, we're on LinkedIn Live, and we are streaming on two different Facebook pages, I think, that we bring Matt in because, Matt, how do you describe yourself politically? You do the best job of that.
I'm kind of a square peg politically, but I the way that I sum it up these days, and people seem to agree with it, is center left, but with a healthy dose of libertarian.
You know, one of the things is Matt doesn't wave the flag that says it's good if it's A or it's good if it's B. It's, is it good or is it not good? Does it make sense or does it not make sense? What's being involved here? And so that's why I like to have Matt in once a month, because a lot of times we are limited to what we hear by our rhythms, by our different stuff, which then... we don't always get both sides of the story. You know, there is no white hat or black hat. They all got gray at this point. And kind of getting insights of like what's going on from somebody who has a history of being a political pundit of sort, or at least a political punny guy. Is that fair, Matt?
No, I don't use puns. How dare you?
No, you just use pundits. You used to bring them on and chew them up and spit them out on your show.
That's right.
But before we do that, in our new format, Matt,
mm-hmm.
In our new format, every
Didn't
week.
We just discuss puns, Dr. Kevin, please. Oh, my God.
Hey, at least you recognize who I am. Right? You just said it.
As far as I know, I mean, this could be a trick.
Right? Didn't you just say it? Oh, my God.
You could be somebody else pretending to be Dr. Kevin.
Well, no, that wasn't the reference. The reference was you said, oh, my God. I'm like, okay, I'm glad for the recognition. Thank you so much. I'll tell you how much to tithe and we'll send the check.
If there is a God, I'm quite sure he has a full beard.
Ah. So, but in the new format, I do start every week talking a little bit about what's going on astrologically instead of doing one show a month where we try to cover a whole month's worth. And I actually took a peek because I like to kind of apply some of this stuff. Usually I apply it to Ashley in my charts, but I thought for the fun of it, once a month, I'm going to kind of sort of apply it to yours. You sent me your information. I kind of went with an intuitive time that felt correct, that is close enough that what I say should apply. But I want to talk again at the beginning about the planetary influences. And it's very... What? Go ahead.
Oh, I just said,
So the planetary influences, and we always call it planetary influences here on the Kevin Ross Emery Show, because they influence, but they should not be making decisions for you. You shouldn't give your power away from them. As we all know, as of last week and still through this week, Mercury's retrograde. That doesn't mean you can't or you have to do something. That means you need to be aware of the challenges that a Mercury retrograde is going to be creating. Doesn't mean don't do it. It just means, so it's like, it's snowing right now. Is it snowing in Manchester still? I'm pretty sure probably you're not that far away.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah.
And it's snowing and it's sleeting. And I could choose to go out in my bathing suit with a beach towel, but it might not be the best choice. And all we do with planetary influences is we do the same kind of weather chart. It's only, it's an astrological weather chart. So we have some big things going on. A lot of it is going on in Aries for this week coming up. And one of the things is that, you know, Aries is the I am planet. And we all have planets and houses. Everybody has Aries in their chart. You may have nothing in Aries, like your sun is in Scorpio. Your rising is in Libra. So neither one of those are Aries, but you do have Aries in your chart. And when you have a lot of things going on in Aries, it's going to be affecting that part of your life. That's the part of your life that these things are most going to apply for. So I'm asking you, Matt, does that make sense when I say it that way?
So this applies regardless of your sign, because I am a Scorpio after all.
Yeah. Well, so think about it. You're a Scorpio, but you have 12 houses and 10 different astrological bodies that we kind of track that go through those, that go through those 12 houses. And each of those houses represents like an area of your life. So your Scorpio sun is in your first house, which is your house of self and your self identity and your discovering who you are and things like that, because you're, that's where your sun is in the house of self. Some people's house self sun is in the house of partnerships. And those people tend to define themselves more through their partnerships than their self. You know, so every house has a place where it's saying, in this area of your life, these are the things, these are the astrological influences you're likely to feel. Does that, I love it. You're not a strong astrology person. So please ask questions, because I know I have listeners that want to know more, and you're the perfect person to ask the question.
I mean, you have introduced some math, which is always challenging for me. And I feel real estate is a part of this with the houses, or perhaps geography. I don't have a son. I'm childless, as you know.
Yes. Let me go to your planet of wisdom in your buttocks and see where it's located.
I have wisdom in my buttocks?
Yes, you just displayed it.
That's wonderful. I hope I have a wise, that's very good.
Anyways, there's a lot going on in Aries. Aries for you is both in your, is hanging out in your sixth house, which is a house of work and health. It is about willingness to serve and devotion. And it can be about discipline. It also goes into your seventh house, which is partnerships, relationships, friendships. And with this Aries, what's going on this week is we have Aries in this upcoming week is going to conjunct your Chiron, which is the wounded healer. It's the place where we got wounded in this lifetime and we spend our lifetime trying to overcome that wound. Again, I'm not trying to do a full astrology reading on you. I'm just saying with you, there's going to be some illumination and a lot of energy that you may have some insights during this week of something that you realized that may have left a negative impact on you, and you may get some clarity that it could still be affecting you in ways you're not aware of. It becomes illuminated. You see it. It becomes, and it can become more sensitive. So, you know, wounds happen for all sorts of reasons, interactions with our parents, experiences that happen. But it's always in the first, basically, it's a wound that happens somewhere within your first 28 to 29 years of life that then, as a behind the scenes player, affects your whole life. And part of it is to kind of find that wound, figure out what it is, how it affects us, because it tends to stay behind the curtain. And that's going to get a lot of illumination, and it's going to go right into a solar eclipse, which is like putting it on steroids. Because we have a solar eclipse in Aries, it's conjuncting the Chiron when the solar eclipse is happening. And this means you're going to have a lot of energy where suddenly you will have some kind of insight or epiphanies about some kind of wounded part of you that tends to stay hidden. And so you need to look at that. And that wounded part of you is likely to be, with where it's hitting, it's right on that borderline between relationships and service. You know, your relationships with other people, it could be a partner relationship in business or personally, it could be friendships, but it's anywhere where we have, where we feel like we have partnered relationships. And this is, now this is where it's going to hit you. For my viewers, get your chart out. If you don't have a chart, contact me and set up a time to get your chart done and let's go over it so you understand it. And you can come in every week and hear what's going on and how it's affecting you. If your Aries is somewhere else in another house, then that's the area it's going to illuminate. One of the advantages is I can say, Matt, over here is where this is going to show up for you. And with some awareness, you may quicker identify it. You may be able to better manage it. You can prepare that, okay, something's probably going to bubble up where I may get triggered. And it's going to be how I'm doing service in the world, but also how am I interacting in my partnerships. And because it's crossing over on that line of yours, it could be doing some of both, because it's right there. And, you know, this is an arc of energy. It's not a single point. Do you understand when I say a difference between an arc of energy versus a single point?
Not exactly. I mean, I assume from the context, an arc of energy would mean a lot of energy happening at once. Oh, no, I'm sorry. An arc of energy would be more gradual, whereas a single point would be a lot of energy happening at once.
Yep.
I assume. Okay.
Yeah, the single point is, the single point of energy is going to be, there'll be a moment where it's most intense, but it's going to have a few days before, a few days after, and it has a range. And in that range, it crosses from your sixth to your seventh house. And so it's going to affect both, because in your chart where you line up, you split the Aries energy between the two. So it's going to start in that sixth house, but it's going to move into the seventh house. So both for you will get affected. And then immediately after that, the thing people have to be aware in the astrology this week is it's then going to conjunct Mercury, which means you're going to have some passion to your communication. You're conjuncting it in Mercury. You're going to have some passion in your communication. You're going to want to speak out. Whatever epiphanies you have, you're going to want to share, or you're going to want to do something. You're going to want to communicate about them. And at that same time, coming right up behind you is Venus in Aries. And Venus is somebody It's the energy. It's an energy of expansion. It's an energy that is also associated with your values, being in love. It shows you kind of what you need to do for security in some ways to feel secure in life. And it's coming into Aries. And when Venus comes into Aries, again, it's about taking charge, making change. The Venus in Aries is a very, she's a very pushy bitch. She, you know, isn't where she just left Pisces, where she was kind of romantic and, oh, now she's like, no, take no prisoners, take charge. I want to make a difference. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to do what I need to do. And we have all of this with this Mercury actually being conjunct, but it's retrograde. We all know retrograde goes inside.
I have a question. What does conjunct mean in this context?
Conjunct is when two planets come together and at some moment share the same degree in the same constellation. Okay. So when you look at it, your Chiron is going to be the exact same degree as your sun. Because it's a sun, you're already feeling this. We're feeling this now because the conjunction is tomorrow, and we feel it as it's coming in and as it's going out. And we're also starting to feel the conjunction in that Mercury, which is backing back into the sun. It's kind of like putting your car into reverse. It's backing you into the sun, and that energy is building, and it will reach a point where you've been spending time in Mercury retrograde reconsidering things in that area of your life. Like, do they really work for me? Or am I saying what I need to say? Am I acting in the way, you know, like, what are my choices? You're rethinking things. And as you rethink things and you relanguage your internal communication within yourself, you are coming to different conclusions. You're seeing different things. You're having epiphanies. The thing we always warn people in a Mercury retrograde is now is a good time to think, plot, plan, but not take action. Wait till the Mercury goes direct. 2 to 3 days after a Mercury goes direct, that clarity kind of settles into what action do I really want to take? Sometimes we can discover something, but actually not choose to change it, but just have to accept that it is what it is. You know, so each of these offer us an opportunity. The sun offers us an opportunity of where we want to put our energy and focus. Chiron offers us the energy of where we might want, where we can heal a wound and then in some way make that healing of that wound give us the ability to be more of who we are or do what we're here to do in the world. That Mercury is about communicating with the world, but in retrograde, it's about communicating within ourselves, which is why taking action out in the world is something we want to wait to do. And that Venus is coming in and she's about reestablishing what is harmony? What is beauty to be? What does love mean? Where is my values? Where have my values not been? Where either I have not been living my values or have I allowed other people to step on my values? So this is all happening in Aries, the first planet of the zodiac. Aries is I am. It's about passion. It's a fire sign. And it's about new beginnings, new things, pushing things to go to new places.
Use another term I don't understand. Chiron. What does that mean?
Chiron is an asteroid that just like when we talk about Venus is here, we talk about Chiron was identified. And astrologically, it is both representational of our own places. It's a celestial body that we look to tell us where we had wounds in our childhood that are life-defining. Chiron, interestingly, got discovered as we started more and more recognition about ancestral wounds and generational wounds. And the fascinating thing when you study astrology is planets are oftentimes discovered around the same time that we're having periods of enlightenment within humanity. And Chiron is the wounded healer, which is, you know, a mythological figure out of, you know, ancient mythologies of the wounded healer, that it was a time that we started to actually say, hey, that which wounded my parents and my grandparents wounded me. The wounds came forward. They came from a wounded place. And again, some of it is ancestral healing, generational healing. It's when we started changing the conversation to say, I may not be my parents or my grandparents, but it doesn't mean that the things that wounded them didn't change the way in which, because they were wounded, changed the way in which they parented me, and that created a wound of its own. Does that make sense?
Oh, sure. I mean, I find that historically my wounds typically come from me being very clumsy and attempting to handle sharp objects. But that's probably a different kind of wound.
Well, I don't know. It depends on whether you consider your tongue a sharp object or not, Matthew.
I've never wounded my tongue.
Doesn't mean it's not sharp.
That's right.
So I'm done with astrology, much to your relief, I'm sure.
It's interesting. You know, I'll be full disclosure. I've always been very skeptical about it. However, I do have to acknowledge that, you know, I'm a Scorpio. And as much as I'm skeptical about it, if I go and look up the traits and characteristics of a Scorpio, I find myself saying, yep, that's me. So, you know, I'm a skeptic, but I'm open-minded.
Which basically sums up everything I know about you. I don't know if you're not a skeptic, but open-minded in any area of your life, Matthew. True?
Well, we'll leave some mystery for the viewers.
Scorpio, the planet of mystery. Of course you will.
By the way, is that true? The planet of mystery?
It's one of the things that Scorpios are known to be, is mysterious.
Yes.
Even to themselves.
Yes.
So what were you going to say?
Completely off topic, but I'm wondering about your co-host, Ashley Olstein. Where is she? I haven't met Ashley yet.
No, you'll meet her on one of the shows. She bowed out of this show.
Oh, I get it. She's like, oh, I heard that guy's a Scorpio. I understand.
So here's the thing. When Ashley decided to jump onto the ship and help steer the Dr. Kevin show into the Kevin Ross Emery with Ashley Olstein show, politics is something that she tends to not lean into.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, this is a show Matt and I for years have been bouncing, you know, and it's not always politics. We get into other conversations.
Yeah.
And so I said, if there is a show a month that you would want to take off, it's okay. that show off.
Yeah.
But I know that she wants to bounce in and kind of be a, you know, sitting on the wall and kind of getting a feel for it. She's going to make sure she watches this show before our next show, so that she can see kind of what we talked about and what the astrology was.
Yeah.
Like I said, a lot of times I actually apply the astrology to her and her chart, because explaining it to somebody can help people then go, oh, okay. It you know, even if that doesn't apply to me, I can see where that might apply or how to use it. One of the reasons a lot of people do get skeptical about astrology is because they really do a nickel version of something that costs $100.
What's that sound? Did you hear that? Are we on a submarine? Are you on a submarine? I know I'm not. It'd be fun if we all lived in a yellow submarine. A yellow submarine.
We could. That's the sound of my computer making sounds.
Oh.
And I'm not sure why it's making sounds. And I am technically challenged to turn off the sound without turning off all my sound, which means I couldn't speak and you wouldn't hear me.
Yeah. In other words, your notifications. Yeah. We could pretend we're on a submarine. I think that would be fun. Although the idea of being submerged in water at that depth is terrifying to me. So I'm already changing my mind. We should not pretend that. Can I ask one more question, Dr. Kevin?
You can ask any questions you want, because then we'll jump into the politics stuff after.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't gotten to talk in a couple of months now. I'm very curious why the change. For the longest time, it was the Dr. Kevin Show. And you know, you always branded yourself as simply Dr. Kevin. And now it's the Kevin Ross Emery Show. And I'm just curious if there's a reason behind it. And I realize maybe there is no reason other than you just wanted to kind of freshen things up, or which sometimes is healthy. I didn't know if there was some other reason, or I'm just very curious. I'm always curious about that kind of thing.
So, you know, I've had the same branding basically since 2000. Mm-hmm. When you first met me and we did some shows together and we crossed paths, it was pre-Dr. Kevin, actually. I'm thinking, how
are you sure? I don't think
that... in the 90s. Did I not meet you till after 2000?
Oh, it was definitely after 2000. We met on the set of Norman Friends, which at that time was still Norm Psychic World.
Yeah,
that's how we met. So that would have been more like mid 2000s. Yeah, you were definitely Dr. Kevin at that point.
Okay. So when I started my business, which was 1990, mm-hmm. I was Kevin Ross Emery. Mm. And it was, you know, it was more focused on my leave from the corporate world into taking all the stuff from the corporate world and that part of my business degrees and melding it with all of my spiritual experience and my history of, you know, doing professional psychic work since the 70s and kind of putting it all in the cauldron and stirring it up and seeing, you know, what kind of trouble I bubbled up. And so during that time period, you know, there was a lot of things. I got my master's in divinity. And then at some point, I, you know, in 1999, going into 2000, I got my doctorate in divinity. And I decided to rebrand at that point because my first book came out on ADD and ADHD, Managing the Gift. Mm-hmm. That first book was my doctoral thesis. And it, once I got my doctorate, it went to the publisher and went into print and became the Managing the Gift Alternative Approaches for Attention Deficit Disorder. I leaned into Dr. Kevin, you know, social media in 2000 was still a pretty early game.
Yeah.
And I leaned into, from a couple of reasons. One, because I was working with a lot of kids at the time and they like to call me Dr. Kevin once I got my doctorate. Mm-hmm. And then it was about, you know, kind of that I was their Dr. Kevin. And it kind of was like my Dr. Kevin, you know?
Oh, yep.
And it was easy at that point for me to go through and grab on Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest and all of them, my Dr. Kevin. Like, there it is. Really simple. You look at me on social media, go to my Dr. Kevin, do that. But part of that focus was also because I was doing work with school systems, because I was, you know, speaking on stages at times about ADD and ADHD, even though I never like tried to hide the fact it was from a spiritual perspective, that my information came through medical intuitive, that, you know, I evolved this thing out, that just the fact that I had Dr. on my name got me more invitations to come be interviewed for people to buy my book. And, you know, there was no misrepresentation. I have my doctorate, you know, my doctoral thesis. So I kind of leaned into a lot of the ADD work, and the My Dr. Kevin for several years got very focused more in the ADD, though I still did the spiritual. I still did the relate, you know, I did everything and I had an ADD focus. So in 90s to 2000, I would still do business consulting when, you know, when it was a good fit for me. But it was, but there was, you know, just me, the fact that I had business degrees. I worked in the corporate, I taught at an MBA level boot camp for entrepreneurs. You know, that I had the cred. I could do, I could do the walk, and I had the spiritual stuff, and I could do the spiritual walk, and you know, how all that crossed over. In 2000, a lot of my stuff went to, I started working more with ADD, ADHD business owners. I would do family work or couple work or multi-generational work or even the medical intuitive work. But a lot of times what brought me in is that they were looking for either answers or insights or solutions around ADD, ADHD. And I still got to do all the other stuff I did. Inner children work, healing, you know, there's, you know, as we both know, Matt, I am a ADD poster child, all of the different things. But at some point when I just chose to start to do this rebranding 18 months ago, 2 years ago, 18 months ago, I brought in an outside team. I felt like it was time that I needed to update. I hadn't updated since 2000. It was 22 years into the same branding and did the same into the same thing, but I had moved away. I still do ADD, ADHD work. I still work with ADD, ADHD entrepreneurs, some, and kids and adults, but I go in and out. I still do a lot of the spiritual work. I still do psychic work. I still do, you know, like I do it all. And it felt like the ADD kind of almost was like wearing a corset. It was like a kind of like brought everything in as if it had to have an ADD focus. And it, that's only part of who I am. I had a whole 10 years before I started working with ADD. Mm-hmm. And during the 10 years, the next 10 years, 11 years, yes, I worked with it, but I worked with it a lot. And then sometimes I work with it less and sometimes I work with it more. But the my Dr. Kevin kind of got as the ADD guy, and it didn't bring all of me in. And so when I went through the rebranding process and I worked with the group, you know, one of the things that came out is from a very young age, I always said Kevin Ross Emery. Mm-hmm. As a little kid, 5 years old in kindergarten, what's your name? Kevin Ross Emery. And that they say Kevin Emery. No, Kevin Ross Emery. Get it right. Even when I started in my corporate career, and you know, back in the day when you'd get stamps with your initials on it to stamp on things that you approved.
Yeah.
If they sent me one that said K-E, I'd send it back and say, no, it's K-R-E.
Why is that? I'm curious. Like, why is it important to you to include the Ross? I assume that's your middle name.
Well, I mean, it's my middle name. It's my grandmother, you know, though I don't think I had this kind of comprehension as a little kid. It's my grandmother that talked to me about being psychic when I was four. It was her maiden name. I was named after her maiden name. And as a little kid, I don't know. I can't tell you, Matt. I just know it was Kevin Ross Emery. Like, it was the full name. It was always the full name.
Yeah.
And I never really questioned why, but in hindsight, I always had a very strong, I mean, I love both my grandmothers and had a connection to them, but having her middle name somehow was like having a piece of her with me. But I don't think that was any conscious level. I think it was just, this is my name. I always knew you needed to understand I'm Kevin Ross Emery. So that's what we rebranded back to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was just curious.
And that probably was a very long-winded over-answered
question. No, I was, no, not at all. I kind of thought it might be. Which is, no, it's fine. I'd much rather that than, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, as someone who interviews people on a regular basis, you know, when you get that, that's not what you're looking for. I'd much rather have a long, detailed answer than.
Well, you know, when we first came into each other's, you know, universe, so to speak, you were on the interviewing part of the table and I was the interviewee.
Universe, you're not going back into astrology, are you?
No, I'm not going back.
Oh, thank Aries, or I don't know if that works that way. Okay, good. Just making sure.
No. When we came into each other's sphere.
Yes. Ooh, sphere is a fun word to say, too.
Sphere. Woo.
That's the international hand signal for sphere, if I'm not mistaken, that you're doing there.
Yes. So anyways, but now you know about the new show.
Yes.
Co-host is.
Yes. And congratulations.
Thank you.
I keep waiting for someone in our ear to yell at us for not getting to the politics already. All right. That might be a little inside, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. But, you know, yes, I'd like to have you on the show for the politics. But at the end of the day, I like to have you on the show because I think we've always had good back and forth chemistry, no matter what we talk about.
Yeah.
So, you know, I put you on the spot, even though you've done a lot of changes, and you can find Matt Connerton. I've been very remiss from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday at WMNH.
Not anymore.
No.
That's all changed, Dr. Kevin.
Tell me what's changed.
So I'm on Saturdays now from 9 a.m. to noon, and the format of the radio show has changed. So I without going into too much detail, because I did once and it got me into trouble, but there's been some changes at WMNH, which have actually worked out very well, very positively. But there's no more, we're not doing any more politics on WMNH. So what we've done is we've moved the show to Saturday mornings. So I'm on 9 a.m. to noon. And most weeks we're just interviewing musicians. For example, this coming Saturday, in the first hour, we have Eric Sauter, who is a music producer. He's worked with a lot of great people. Second hour, we've got a band called Warhog Skyping in from Texas, and they've got some new music and going to interview them. They've been on the show before. Third hour, we have a band called Conduit coming into the studio. Plus, we have Eric Pilcher's classic film review. So that's what the format of the FM show is now. So we've taken the politics out of what we do at WMNH. There's reasons for that. Again, I don't want to get into all the details because I don't want to get in trouble. But what we're doing now is, so there's that. And then very soon we are going to relaunch the podcast version of the show, which will not in any way replace or supplant what we do on WMNH. But we're also going to bring back the podcast version. And I think we're going to be Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. at night. And on the podcast version of the show, you know, we can do whatever we want. So that will, you know, we'll do politics and whatever else we want to do. When I say we, I mean Jenny and I and whoever we bring on. So that will be and that'll be open and, of course, uncensored and whatnot. But the show that we do on WMNH, that will always be the flagship, the mothership, if you will, of Matt Connerton Unleashed. But we're going to create additional content with the podcast, bringing back the podcast version 2, where we'll have complete freedom to do whatever we want.
So now that you've been beamed down from the mothership.
Yes.
Alien you. So there's no more 4 to 6 drive-through time.
Right. We're not on, that could return in the future, but right now we're not doing afternoon drive. We're doing Saturday mornings. Yep. Although the station is doing this cool thing where on Monday from 4 to 5, you can hear the first hour of the show that aired the previous Saturday. Wednesday, you can hear the second hour. Friday, you can hear the third hour. So parts of the show re-air throughout the week on WMNH, but we're doing the live show Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to noon. And I even see that scrolling on the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Yes.
Who did that? Is that Mindy who did that?
Yep.
Oh, thank you, Mindy.
So I'm going to have to get it down. You can now find it. Is it still called Matt Carnitin Unleashed, or does it?
Oh, that's never going away. I am never rebranding.
Okay. We're never putting you on a leash, baby.
When I'm dead, whoever takes over my time slot, it'll still be called Matt Carnitin Unleashed. Never rebranding, ever. I'm kidding. I'm actually going to be calling it Matt Ross Emery. In the future. It's going to be the new show. I haven't told Jenny yet.
It's a winner. It's a winner.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
Yes. There you go.
So now I can't say to you, so what have you been talking about politically on the show? But are you
nothing
staying? I mean, well, you've been kind of making the move for a while because you were doing a lot of politics. Then you kind of burned out on the politics a little bit and you definitely burned out on some of the nutcases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm thinking about doing that. So I'm going to get your feedback for that in a second. But
yeah,
then you started bringing in more because music was always a love of yours. I mean,
yeah, we had always had musical guests. It's been, oh my God, I almost forgot. Yeah, it's, what is it, April 10th? It's coming right up. Will be the 7-year anniversary of my show on WMNH, 7 years. Yeah, we always had musical guests, but it would be here and there. And then in the last year, well, now the last year plus, we started doing, and Jenny took over the booking. She does a fantastic job with it. We kind of went with a format where the first hour would be politics or whatever else we get into. And then the second hour would be the musical guest. And then, so the show was already going in that direction anyway.
Yeah. And I knew that it was kind of going on in that direction. So let me ask you, as we do our first Thursday of the month, as we keep our monthly date, are you still tracking politics? Are you still?
Oh yeah.
Or is that okay? Cause that's something that you're never gonna not do.
Right, right. And like I said, when we relaunch the podcast version of the show, we'll be right back into it anyway. But yeah, I mean, I'm a political junkie. That's not going to change.
Yeah. Now you say you're going to relaunch the podcast at 11 at night.
That's the tentative plan.
Okay. You always were a night owl.
Yeah. It'll be at the end of the day. Won't interfere with anything. Won't get in the way of anything else. And, you know, people who are fellow night owls can stay up and listen live, or they can just get it in the morning when it, you know, it'll be up on all the podcast networks, same as usual. So.
Yep. As this show is.
Yeah.
We had to do the transition, but our administrative goddess for the radio show, Miss Mindy, has done all the stuff. So it's out on all of the Podbean, Pod Chaser, Pod, I don't know.
Pod things.
Now are you going to be in a studio for that at 11 a night, or are you just going to be doing it in a way where people are just calling in and you're like doing it from home?
We'll be doing it from home, but we're currently, I've been slowly, assembling. I mean, I have a little bit of a home studio to begin with. In fact, one of the radio shows that I do, because I also have another FM show that runs on 100.1 The Planet in Plymouth that I've been doing for, oh my God, I think it's been 15 years now, that I actually produce from home. And then I just email it to them. I used to have to go there to do it. But we're ramping up, gear wise and equipment wise to be able to, essentially what I want to be able to do from the home studio, the headquarters, if you will, is be able to replicate what we were doing an afternoon drive on WMNH, and yeah, be able to take calls and all of that. So that's the goal. And you know, we live in an era where we have the technology to do that. It's you know, you really can make that happen. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, for years when you were on me, I was often, because I would always do it on the phone. So I would be walking around, I'd be walking in the woods. Sometimes you heard noise behind me, but I mean, that was part of the charm of the Dr. Kevin show. You didn't know whether you were going to hear horns blasting or waves rolling into, or the wind blowing through the leaves.
Might hear you making dinner. I think there was an episode or two of that kind of thing. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny because you have those, you do have people who kind of say, you know, when you look at all these influencers and the social media people, and they can make fun or they can laugh if something isn't absolutely perfect, and lack of perfection became popular for a while. And it's like, honey, I was doing lack of perfection long before it was popular.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of like, did it change the words I said? Did it change what my guest said? I don't know. I mean, how disruptive was it to you when you knew I was making dinner? Did it stop you from saying what you had to say?
No, I mean, the clanging of pots and pans could be distracting, if I'm being honest. Okay. A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Now I'm stuck, so I have to stand in front of my computer so I can look at here. So
there you go.
That's not happening. Though I will get an occasional visit, as you may have seen, from one of the cats.
Oh, good. I love cats. Are you using a clip-on mic? What are you using?
I am just using the computer mic. How does it sound?
Oh, it sounds good. I just wondered because you're moving around a lot, but I can hear you the entire time. So that you've got a good, it sounds like you've got a good onboard mic then on your computer. That's why I thought you might be wearing a clip-on. I got to get one of those. I'm using a Yeti Nano, but I want to get a clip-on mic. Those are really cool.
Yeah, I've had clip-on mics through the years because you of all people know that I have a ton of video out because you have this Kevin TV channel.
Yep.
Which at some point I have a ton more video that you don't have on it that you should get at some point. On it. Because I now do a weekly thing called Why Heart Matters, which is relationship advice. I don't know. Have you seen any of them?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I have not.
I don't know. I think they put it out on Instagram and then it crosses Facebook, but it's called Why Heart Matters. And I just take a question and then I kind of, you know, answer it. And it can be any kind of relationship, romantic, or I have this problem with my parents or my siblings or my best friend or whatever, or what should I do there? And it's just kind of pushing out that part of me that's always been a relationship catalyst of some kind that's helped people improve their communication abilities. And, so like I have all of those and, you know, I'm always putting out something. And we do the SIP, which is the spiritual interactive panels that I'm doing once a month where I get some other spiritual people together. And like last month we did soul contracts. So we do a different topic once a month to try to, you know, we've done reincarnation. We've done truth about angels. Next month on April 21st, or this month, it's April now, April 21st, we're doing what is indigenity? Say that fast three times.
Indigenity?
Yes.
I got it.
So we do those. We've been doing them Sunday afternoons, and you can sign up and you can either be live with us. We've done them on Zoom, though we're thinking about moving to StreamYard, which is what we're doing this on.
Yeah.
And
you might as well
live stream it out and stuff like that. And but if people sign up and don't make it, you know, we'll have 25 people sign up, but maybe 18 show up to ask questions and listen to the panelists. But we try to give you two or three different spiritual perspectives of the same spiritual topic with the idea that no one's wrong. It's not about wrong or right. It's just different perspectives. So yeah, so all of that creates tons and tons of video that at any point you want to put it on the Dr. Kevin channel on IPM Nation. Let me know.
Okay.
So in our remaining 11 minutes, because we don't have commercials anymore.
Right.
What has been going on in the political world that's grabbed your attention? What people might not be catching or missing?
I don't know. I mean, myself, I just try to, I've kind of reached a point where it's like just trying to keep up with all the Trump legal drama, which is becoming increasingly difficult. I mean, I'm at a point where, and you know, I pay pretty close attention to everything, but I'm at a point where I'm having a hard time remembering which judge is which case. It's getting to be quite a challenge. Also, I there's Israel, which is a big subject and a complicated one. And no matter what you say about it, somebody will be mad at you about it. I mean, those are kind of the two big things that are on my mind the most. And I'm still angry at Biden for deciding to run for a second term. I think that's a mistake. And I think the Democratic Party is going to just sleepwalk right into handing the White House back over to Trump, which is unfortunate. So I continue to be angry about that. What else? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on, but I do feel like all the Trump legal stuff, there's so much of it that it kind of sucks up a lot of the oxygen. You know what I mean? It almost like for me, I mean, we all have our limits in terms of the bandwidth we have in our brains for what we can retain. And I'm having a hard time just keeping all of that straight. I really am. I guess, I mean, the latest news today, I guess Judge Cannon, Eileen Cannon, ruled against Trump and trying to get the charges against him dismissed over the classified documents. So maybe she's not entirely in the tank for Trump. That's good news, I guess. On the other hand, Judge Cannon, she's got the crazy eyes. She does. But she did rule against Trump in that. So that's good. But I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot going on.
Well, you know, you don't ever know which polls to believe, and they all have a slant, and who's doing them, and all of that stuff. You know, they say if they can get any of these charges to stick, especially the big ones, that it drops Trump's acceptability level on the ones that could go either way. And of course, you know, he's doing every trick in the book and getting away with things, you know, that nobody else ever would have got away with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just broke his gag order by basically reposting something that goes after the judge's daughter after it was like, this is part of the gag order. So mm-hmm. What are they going to do? Are they going to fine him? Now, I wonder, actually, if he does fine, and then he does one day in jail, which they'll immediately pull him out of. But, like, how many millions will he raise from all of the suckers if there's actually a picture of him mm-hmm. in handcuffs? Like, he would, you know, that would be a brilliant stroke to because his personal donations are down. His fundraising is down.
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting burned out or getting too poor because, well, do we eat today or do we, you know, do we give money to the orange God, the orange Jesus? You know, we have to make a decision because we don't have enough of both. Well, we ate yesterday and, you know, that orange Jesus is important. Maybe we should send him another $25. We can go another day without eating.
Well, it's such a cult. They believe whatever he tells them. And we've got, I mean, there's a larger problem though here too, is we've got a country full of people who believe two lies, one which they've always believed and one which is unique to the time that we're in. The lie that they've always believed is that, I mean, most people, smart people, intelligent people who know a lot about how things work, sincerely believe that the president of the United States controls the economy And if they like the president, then anything good that happens is to their credit. And if they don't like the president, any bad things that happen are because of them, all their fault. And that's not how it works. And but you can't tell that to the average American. You know, there's basically any economist who knows anything, and that's what economists know about, is the how the economy works. They know that that's not really how it works, that the president of the United States doesn't control the economy. And then there's a handful of other people, apparently, like myself, who understand that. But the average American doesn't understand that. So they vote based on the economy. And then, but then the other lie that people seem to think that is specific to our time, that relates to the larger lie that is always the case, is that the economy is bad. And the economy is not bad. The economy is very much the opposite of bad. This economy is booming. But if you're MAGA and you don't like the guy in the White House and somebody tells you what you want to hear, which is, oh, the economy is actually terrible. Look at inflation. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, inflation sucks. It sucks when things cost more. It sucks when you go to put gas in your car and gas is more expensive. Sure. But that's one indicator, or a couple of indicators, however you want to think about it, in a much larger picture. The economy is booming. But if you look at social media, all the MAGA people are convinced that we're in a recession approaching a depression. You know, meanwhile, we have record low unemployment. The stock market is gangbusters. Not that the stock market is the economy, but you know, these same people, when Trump's in office and the economy and the stock market's doing well, you know, that's all they want to talk about is the stock market. So we have a fantastic economy, but if you don't like Biden, you're convinced that the economy actually is terrible, and it's completely the opposite of terrible. And by the way, as far as inflation, we have the lowest inflation in the world, I believe.
Yep.
You know, so, but, even inflation specifically, it's got nothing to do with Joe Biden. Nothing. But you can't tell people that. They don't want to hear it. So, I mean, this is a country. We live in a country full of children. The way they think about these things, it's unbelievable. It's very sad.
So we have two main groups that support Trump. Kind of the self-righteous, disenfranchised, living in fear that their white supremacist place in the country is getting ready to be lost. And they're all the little small donations. They're all the little, you hear them get interviewed sometimes, and you're like, oh, scary. Some of the statements you go, they let this person walk on the street with some of the things that you hear these people that just openly say to these, you know, like interviewers and different social media feeds. And then you have the billionaires who are all trying to elbow their way to be part of the oligarchy when Trump sets up a dictatorship, because that's what he's going for. And he's very clear. He's very clear. He wants to create internment camps, put millions of people behind fences. He wants to fire people that run and put everybody in that's going to do exactly what he says as a dictator. And you know, he will absolutely try to find a way to get elected for another 4 years if he got elected this time.
That last part, I don't believe. I hear people say that. I don't believe that. He's just going to be too old and tired at that point to even, I think he just wants to stay out of jail. I honestly, maybe I'm naive. I don't think he even really wants to do all these things like internment camps and whatnot. This is my theory. I don't think he actually cares about any of that. I don't think that he is necessarily as malevolent as some of us might think that he is, but I think a lot of these things he says and does because he know the base is really into it. Yeah. The more awful and hateful he comes across, the more that base is like, yeah, he's our guy. So that doesn't excuse or justify anything that he says or any of this stuff. It's awful. But I don't think he, like, I don't think Trump sits around fantasizing about putting undocumented immigrants into internment camps. I don't think he gives a shit. I think he just says that stuff because he knows the base loves it. And I think he is, I don't know that he necessarily cares about even being president again so much as he cares about, in a practical sense, just finding a way to stay out of prison.
Yep.
And being president again will help keep him out of prison. And, you know, and if he manages to be president again, by the time that second term is over, he'll be into his 80s. And at that point, I mean, you know,
never too old to go to jail.
That is true. That is very true. But the way he eats, you know, a fast food diet, it's no secret. You know, he's not going to. I mean, I guess his father, Fred Trump, was in his 90s, right? And I think his mother lived to be very old. But the way Trump takes care of himself, I mean, look at him. He's not going to live to be 90.
Okay. Well, we're wrapping up today's show. This went quick. Matt, I will see you next month.
Yes, yes.
Maybe Ashley will be here. She did say she's going to stop in and kind of see what kind of free-for-all we have. There were definitely topics that I was going to get to, but we did what we did, and that's what we always do. Next week, Ashley will be back, and our guest will be Sheila Duncan, who created the dog Trouble. And we're going to hear what kind of new trouble has gotten into and what good Trouble is doing in the world. Because, you know, this that thing of good Trouble. On that note.
That's also an REO Speedwagon album.
What, Trouble?
Good Trouble.
Good Trouble. Oh. And you would know. Matt Connerton, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next month. Good luck on your new show, so to speak. 9 to 12 Saturday mornings in WMNH.
Yes.
I'm sure they can also go. Can they simul it through IPMNation.com or MattConnerton.com?
Yeah, the best thing, just go to MattConnerton.com and all the information is there.
Okay. That's MattConnerton.com. Make sure that you go check it out and hear what new exposure to new musicians you can get. Give my love to Jenny.
I will.
Take care.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kevin.
Bye.
Bye-bye.